This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Joe Biden delivers his last address to the United Nations General Assembly as the president of the U.S. Also, a tragic accident in Long Beach as a fire truck kills a pedestrian. First, though, a crackdown on street takeovers.
Yeah, street takeovers and sideshows, they have been a long-lasting, really frustrating problem here in Southern California. Now cops will have some new tools to tackle the problem because of some bills signed at the state capitol. Let's get the story live this morning from our John Baird.
This has been a big problem across the L.A. area for years. Dangerous street racing, the street takeovers, the sideshows, cars, drivers doing donuts. Authorities say people sometimes get hurt or killed at these events when cars spin out of control. And they also see lots of criminal activity, including shootings and assaults, even murders at these incidents, these events. Now, these new laws that the governor signed, there were four of them, should help law enforcement by taking cars away. They're able to seize the cars from those who are involved in street racing or sideshows. I talked to Damian Kevitt just a short time ago. He's executive director of Streets Are for Everyone. He thinks more needs to be done. He thinks that providing venues for people who race or spin their wheels would certainly help.
And one of the ways to address that is, besides enforcement, is to provide legal areas. So it's sort of a carrot and a stick approach. If we're going to use a larger and larger stick, we also need to provide a carrot for places for it to be done safely.
And law enforcement officials also think bigger fines would help, too. And maybe even going after some of the shops that help these drivers soup up their cars for these events. So we'll see if this makes any difference or not. But street racing has been a plague in L.A. for a long time. And this is one way that authorities are trying to crack down.
John Baird, thank you. A tragic accident in Long Beach this morning. A person's been struck and killed by a fire truck just outside the fire station. Public information officer with the department said it happened when the truck was pulling out of the station on its way to an emergency call. This is about 12:30 earlier this morning. The engine struck, hit the victim just outside the doors of the fire station. This is the fire station on 2nd Street here in Long Beach. Firefighters rendered aid. The victim unfortunately died. The department is offering emotional support for the firefighters involved who are incredibly shaken up this morning. Long Beach police are investigating.
Israel and Hezbollah continue to trade strikes in Lebanon, including a new one in Beirut.
Israel says Hezbollah fired dozens of rockets deeper into northern Israel, including at civilian towns and cities, sending tens of thousands of Israelis running to bomb shelters. In Lebanon, thousands of civilians continued to flee South Lebanon as heavy Israeli bombing continued. Israel says that Hezbollah is using the population as human shields by hiding missiles in homes in South Lebanon.
The border crossing with Syria, they say, saw massive traffic jams because of people trying to escape from Lebanon into that neighboring country.
Well, President Biden is addressing the opening session of the United Nations General Assembly. It's happening right now. He talked about all the problems facing the world.
I recognize the challenges from Ukraine to Gaza to Sudan and beyond. War, hunger, terrorism, brutality, record displacement of people, the climate crisis, democracy at risk, stranger than our societies, the promise of artificial intelligence and its significant risk. The list goes on. But maybe because all I've seen and all we have done together over the decades, I have hope. I know there is a way forward.
This is going to be the last time he addresses the UN as the U.S. leader. After the speech, set to meet with the United Nations Secretary General, and later this afternoon, he's going to do a speech on the climate at the Bloomberg Global Business Forum.
And President Biden, of course, trying to tee things up for who he hopes will be the next president of the United States, and that is Kamala Harris, saying that she is the path forward. And it's going to be a busy week for the presidential candidates, both of them, as they continue to make important visits to swing states. Harris will head to Pennsylvania tomorrow before holding a rally in Arizona on Friday. She's going to give her speech outlining what she says is her vision for the economy. Former President Donald Trump will hold a rally in Georgia today. He's expected to talk about a plan to lower taxes and increase manufacturing. Julianne Thompson, a Republican strategist in Georgia, tells us it is important for Trump to talk about his economic plan if he's going to win in November.
The most important issue for the American people is the economy. And President Trump has a proven record when it comes to jobs, when it comes to the economy and to opportunity for people. And so the fact that he is out getting out his message and talking about his policies and his tax code is extremely important all over the country, but most especially in the swing states.
Donald Trump will be in North Carolina tomorrow and then Michigan on Friday.
Residents in Rancho's Palos Verdes remain frustrated. Several have lost their electricity, the gas, due to the ongoing land movement that we've been hearing about. L.A. County Supervisor Janice Hahn represents the city. She's been working on getting federal aid for residents there impacted by the landslide. She talked with FEMA and the White House as well. And Supervisor Hahn joins us live.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, to say that the residents there are frustrated is such an understatement. I don't even know how to convey it. It is an absolute nightmare for these people, and it's been going on for so long and continues to go on without any end in sight. You've been in Washington talking to FEMA and other officials. What are you hearing in terms of additional help for the people there?
Well, thank you, Vicki. And first of all, you know, you're absolutely right. And I feel like they have been sort of under the radar when it comes to major disasters or emergencies. You know, we have wildfires going on, we have earthquakes, we have floods, and yet this is as serious of a disaster as any I have ever seen. The problem, it's been slow moving. So I think people have not thought that it had as great of an impact as maybe a major incident that happened all at once. These people are suffering. And then on top of that, their utility companies, their gas company, their electricity company shuts off their power without any offer of trying to help these people have an alternate source of power. They've had to do that all on their own. They've had to go out and buy generators. They're trying to do their own solar. They're basically off the grid, and yet they're trying to still live their lives because many of them have not left their homes. They haven't evacuated, so they're trying to continue to live there. I have been trying desperately to get them some help. You know, it was important that the governor signed the declaration of emergency, but that didn't come with any money. I've given them $5 million to the city, but what I was asking the White House for and FEMA was individual assistance, because FEMA is the only agency that can give individual assistance to people who are suffering a disaster. So I talked a lot about how these people could use some assistance, financial. I don't know in what form it's going to come. I believe they're going to try to be creative and figure out a way to give the assistance to these homeowners that they so desperately need.
Supervisor, I'm going to play the devil's advocate for a second, and please correct me if I'm wrong. For someone who does not live there, I know the area, but I don't live there. You know, we hear about the land moving and moving and moving. Shouldn't we be focusing on taking these people and relocating them? I mean, if the land keeps moving, isn't there a threat of a major landslide at some point?
I mean, absolutely. This land is now moving 9 inches a week. So it's almost a foot a week this land is moving, and it's wreaking havoc. And now, of course, it's also in a neighboring city of Rolling Hills. The problem is, you know, these are people's homes, right? We don't have a lot of places to evacuate people to. I mean, that's obviously an option. And the city has offered some discounted room rates at local hotels. But, you know, that's not exactly a long-term solution. We need to stop the land from moving, and that's a separate project. That's about a $30, $35 million project. But let's say the sewer has to be moved with LA County Sanitation. That's a $1 billion project. So these are big-ticket items. In the meantime, these residents need some individual help. Again, whether it's just to buy, you know, another source of power.
Let me jump in though, Janice, because I mean, do you worry honestly that this is all going to be too little too late? Because you know people in that area. You know that many of them are already moving out. They can't stay because of the land movement. They're not getting money from their insurance companies. They've only got so much money to survive. Their property is worth not much of anything right now. I mean, when the assistance ultimately comes, will it just be almost too little too late?
Well, it depends on what form that assistance comes. Maybe it comes in the form of helping them, I don't know, with their banks, their mortgages. Maybe that's a possibility. Maybe it's a possibility to, again, give them a pathway forward to leave their homes and relocate. I would like to see, to be honest, the utility companies making a mitigation fund. I think every time they turn off somebody's power, they need to provide the assistance, whether it's to relocate or whether it's money to help them buy an alternative source of power, like a generator or solar panels. They are their power companies. They're responsible for giving them power. And when they turn it off and leave them helpless, I find that to be egregious. And I plan to bring that up with our PUC, which is our state agency that oversees utility companies.
For now, though, we just wait. They just wait, you know, for requests and the process to move forward while they are desperate for help. All right, LA County Supervisor Janice Hahn, thank you as always so much for joining us for these live interviews and giving us a little insight into what's happening for those folks in Rancho Palos Verdes and Rolling Hills Estates. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
New research says nursing shortages are hurting hospital patients, severe obesity getting worse in the U.S. Those stories and more. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Well, senior executive at the cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike expected to apologize this morning for the faulty software update that caused that global IT outage. Remember that back in July? Vice President is set to testify before the White House subcommittee today. The outage paralyzed 8.5 million Microsoft Windows devices, including here at KNX, leading to flight cancellations worldwide. Delta was hit the hardest with 7,000 canceled flights and $500 million in losses.
Not having enough nurses to fill hospitals can have dire consequences, as you can imagine, for patients. Correspondent Skylar Henry reports on the importance of that profession.
Nursing shortages can lead to more deaths. A study published in the British Journal of Surgery found the relative risk of mortality increases 9% each day that staffing levels are below average. Patients also face longer hospital stays and worse outcomes, as well as a rise in deep vein thrombosis, pneumonia, and pressure ulcers.
Nurses also play an integral role, they say, in treating and preventing infections after surgery.
Now, Boeing has made what it calls the best and final offer to striking union machinists.
Those on the picket line in Washington state expressed their desire last week to end the nearly two-week-old walkout.
We all want to get back to work, and we all want to be the Boeing family that we always have been.
Boeing says the new offer is contingent on union members ratifying the contract by Friday night.
Well, Jackie Quinn reports the proposed contract includes bigger raises, larger bonuses than the offer union members overwhelmingly rejected this past month.
Severe obesity increasing in the U.S. A global health professor at Emory University says the epidemic shows no sign of improving.
Obesity in the U.S. continues to affect almost half of the U.S. population of adults. It's particularly affecting people from lower education levels. We are seeing continued levels of obesity quite similar to what we've been seeing over the past 10 years.
They say it's too soon to know whether new treatments for obesity can ease the epidemic.
Well, listen up. If you fly, there's a new major air safety concern called GPS spoofing, of all things. Someone or something's triggering false information with onboard electronic cockpit instrumentation, safety systems, navigation gear. It's causing some big challenges to airline pilots. Joining us live to talk about the problem is KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg.
Hi, Peter. Good morning.
And good morning.
So the Wall Street Journal was out with this exclusive talking about it, saying how hundreds of daily flights around the world are running into this problem of GPS spoofing. And they say it's a problem for pilots and passengers. So let's address it for, well, certainly you can address it for the pilots. But as a passenger, I want to know, is this something I should be nervous about when I fly?
Well, you should be concerned about it. The good news is it's not happening over U.S. airspace. It's happening over more airspace above conflict areas. Ukraine, Russia, the Gulf areas, the Middle East, even India and Pakistan. These are areas that, you know, airlines fly at 32,000 feet or higher every day. These are skyways. And what it is this. Erroneous signals sent to instrumentation on the planes that can trigger alerts and alarms for things that do not exist. For example, there's something on every airplane called the GPWS. That stands for Ground Proximity Warning System. It's to let pilots know if they're on approach to an airport, if they're below the glide slope, and are too low to land. It might actually impact the ground or a tree or the terrain. And what happens when that's triggered is you hear an audio alarm followed by a voice command saying, pull up, pull up. But that should never go off at 32,000 feet. That's been happening. You also have instruments on the plane that suddenly fail and have to be reset. You have a lot of these things are caused by what we call ECM. That's a military term for electronic countermeasures used to deflect and defend against missiles and drones by sending them erroneous electronic signals. So we had 1,100 of these incidents last month alone. At the beginning of this year, there were only a few. Now it's 1,100. So pilots are being briefed on this as part of their pre-flight briefings. The industry is trying to develop new software to avoid this, but that won't be in place for at least another year. The good news is it's not happening over areas where there's no conflict yet, and that includes the United States.
Peter, okay, so in the U.S., we're okay for now, but what if somebody just decides, you know what, I'm going to mess with the GPS with these airplanes. Can someone get some equipment? Can someone anywhere do this and, I don't know, aim a signal at a plane and cause this problem? Is this something that we'd have to worry about in the future?
Well, if you have access to military hardware and software, the technical answer would be, or at least the conceivable answer would be, yes. Remember, one of the biggest problems that airline pilots faced up until about a year ago were the people on the ground who were sending laser beams into the cockpit on approach, which is not just a distraction. It was a flight disruption and dangerous to safety. Luckily enough, the authorities were able to geoposition these bad folks, and they were arrested. So the incidence of lasers being fired from the ground is like almost nothing now. Now we've got electronic problems to worry about.
Always something there, isn't it? Thank you. That's KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg. Peter, thank you very much.